Good evening and greetings in Jesus' name. And we want to welcome each of you to this service by the Pleasant Hill Brethren Church this Good Friday evening. I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. Then we will have a season of prayer. And then Brother Ken Nell will bring the message. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's bow our heads for prayer.
Good evening, and may God bless each of you. The title of our message is Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. And the text is found in the scripture that Brother Glenn read in the opening. If you'd like to turn to that in your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we are going to be looking at three verses specifically. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 20. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Consider, if you will, the meaning of a few key words in these verses. The first one is redeemed. Redeem means simply to buy back. It signifies obtaining the life of a captive or slave by paying a price. In this case, the precious blood of Christ was the price that was paid. Corruptible is that which is perishable. It is what we deal with here on earth, and nothing here on earth is qualified to redeem our souls from sin. Not even the most precious of metals, like silver and gold. One soul we know is worth more than the whole world. Vain means empty and fruitless. Conversation is a word representing one's manner of life and conduct. The Jews had many traditions and useless ordinances passed down to them that were no value in bringing them closer to God, and certainly not worthy of redeeming their souls. So their lifestyle and their whole religious system was not enough to pay the price. Foreordained means predetermined or known beforehand. Foundation of the world is a phrase that points back to creation, the foundation or beginning of time and matter. To manifest is to reveal. The words last times reference the dispensation from Christ to the end of the world. Now let's read the text again with those explanations in mind. 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." In this message, we are going to take three aspects of this text in 1 Peter chapter 1 and expand them. Number one, the blood that redeems. We have all been born into sin. We all have a sinful nature. We have all been alienated from God. We face the penalty of sin, which is eternal death and separation from God. But God has a plan of redemption that was instituted way back before creation. Any humanly devised plan is empty and worthless. The only valid plan to redeem us from sin and its penalty is offered by God. Any system of religion devised by man is grossly insufficient. He gave His Son, His only Son, to die and pay the penalty to redeem our souls. The plan that God has offered required the death of Christ and the shedding of His blood, and we commemorate that death today. It was a cruel death by crucifixion on the cross of Calvary. The most solemn event that has ever taken place on the planet Earth. Belief in Christ's death and confession of your sin is the only way to be redeemed and set free from the penalty of sin. It is your only hope for the future. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to obtain eternal life? The golden text of the Bible in John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you believe in Jesus? It is by far the most important question you will ever answer. And for those of you who have not received the free gift of salvation, God's Word tells you that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Our eternal life through belief in Christ meant Jesus had to die and shed His blood. Why did Christ's blood have to be shed? We read in Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Under the law, the sacrifices of animals and their shed blood pointed to the ultimate sacrifice of Christ. The life of the body is in the blood, and it was only by the shedding of Christ's blood that we could be given life. We are redeemed, as stated in 1 Peter 1:19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. This grand and glorious plan of redemption was foreordained before creation. Yet, from creation to Christ, there was approximately 4,000 years. In that expanse of time, did God give us any foreshadowing of the coming Lamb of God who would shed His blood on the cross of Calvary? And that brings us to the second point, the Lamb that was slain. Prophetic pictures and references to the coming Lamb of God are scattered throughout the Old Testament. We, this evening, will consider a few notable ones. After the fall in the Garden of Eden, God illustrated His redemptive plan when He made clothing for Adam and Eve from animal skins. In Genesis 3:21, we read, "Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them." We aren't told what type of animal, but it was the first blood that was shed to provide a covering for their sin. A picture of what was to come in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who would die to take away our sin. In Genesis 4:2, we read, "And she," speaking of Eve, "again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." In verse 4, we read the account of Abel's offering of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering He had not respect." Abel's lamb was a type of Jesus, the Lamb of God. To come thousands of years later, God declared Abel's sacrificial offering of the firstborn of his flock as worthy, and Cain's as unworthy. The firstborn lamb is a type that points to Jesus, who was the firstborn of every creature in Colossians 1:15, and reconciled all things to himself through the shedding of his blood. Let's consider another picture. In Genesis 22, God commands Abraham to offer his beloved son Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham, obedient to God, was willing to do what God commanded. And we know this was a test for Abraham. On the way to the altar, Isaac asked his father, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And when they arrive at the place of sacrifice, Abraham prepares to offer Isaac to the Lord. And I'm sure at that point, Isaac could have defended himself and refused to get on that altar. But he didn't. He willingly submitted. But before Abraham could slay his only child, God stops him. And we read in Genesis 22, 10 through 12, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." In Genesis 22:13, we read, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son." Before they leave the mountaintop, where Abraham was to offer Isaac, Abraham says something very significant. He actually prophesies the coming of the Lamb of God. In verse 14 of Genesis 22, we read, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Approximately 2,000 years later, upon that very same mountain, just outside of Jerusalem, God offered his only son, the Lamb of God, as a sin offering to reconcile fallen humanity to a holy, righteous, almighty God. Let's consider another picture of the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. Exodus chapter 12 records the last of the 10 plagues, which was the death of all the firstborn in Egypt. The word Passover refers to the night the death angel passed over the Jewish homes and the firstborn was spared. Why did they pass over? Why did the death angel pass over? When the blood of the lamb was sprinkled on the doorpost and lintel of each Jewish home, God saw that blood and literally passed over that house. But if the death angel didn't see the blood, he would take the life of the firstborn. It was the blood of the lamb that saved God's people that night. From then on, the Israelites were to observe a Passover celebration as a solemn reminder of God's amazing deliverance in Egypt. The Passover lamb was a type of Christ shedding his blood for us. What are some of the similarities? The Passover lamb had to be perfect, without any blemish or fault of any kind. As we read in Exodus 12:5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Only a perfect sacrifice could satisfy the requirements of a holy, righteous God." Our text in 1 Peter speaks of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The bones of the Passover lamb could not be broken. Exodus 12:46 says, "It is to be eaten in a single house, You are not to bring forth any of the flesh outside of the house, nor are you to break any bone of it. John wrote of Jesus in his gospel, chapter 19, verses 32. Beginning there, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. It was necessary for the Passover lamb to be slain. Exodus 12:6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Paul said of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Jesus was nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock. There was darkness from the 6th hour until the 9th hour, or from 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon. Shortly thereafter, Jesus uttered his final words and gave up the ghost. His body was taken down from the cross before the sun set. It was a preparation day, and Jesus died at the very time the Passover lambs were being sacrificed throughout Israel. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus died as a lamb, the fulfillment, the ultimate fulfillment of the Passover lamb. You know, when the day of the Lord comes, and I really see that it's on the horizon, those who have covered themselves in the blood of the Lamb by accepting Christ will be kept safe, while the world pays for their rebellion against God. Thirdly, this evening we look at the plan that was foreordained. On the day of Pentecost, Peter in Acts 2:23 proclaimed Christ, saying, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Predetermined, foreknowledge, before time existed, before man was created, God knew that we in Adam would sin. He knew that we would rebel against our Creator. In wisdom and great love, God predetermined a plan so that we could receive the free gift of salvation. In eternity, God planned for the Son of God to step into time and provide the ultimate sacrifice. The sinless Son of God would suffer sin's penalty of death. He would then be raised from the dead and thereby provide a way of salvation. Think about it. When God made the land animals on day 6, he knew that he would soon sacrifice at least one of those animals to make clothing for Adam and Eve because of their sin. God knew that the ultimate sacrifice would one day be his only son, so we could receive the gift of salvation. When God created the heavenly bodies on the fourth day, he said in Genesis 1:14, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." And he knew that one of those signs would be for the time the Son of God would become a man, born of a virgin in a little town of Bethlehem where the Passover lambs were birthed. There was a sign in the heavens that Jesus was born, and the wise men knew that sign. When God made the trees on the third day of creation, he knew that a tree would one day be used for the darkest time in human history, when evil men would crucify the perfect Son of God. By God's foreknowledge and predetermined plan, this far-off event was to provide salvation for fallen man. When God cursed the ground and caused thorns and thistles to grow because of Adam and Eve's sin, God knew that one day thorns would be used to pierce the brow of his dear son as he hung on that tree, paying the penalty for our sin. You know, considering all this and the great love that was behind it, we can do nothing more than to fall on our knees and worship our Creator and praise Him and continually thank Him for the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let us pray at this time. Father, we come to you broken, unworthy, sinful, and yet with your divine plan of redemption through Jesus Christ, our sins washed away in the blood, we can be declared righteous through the righteousness of Christ. Lord Jesus, we remember today the pain and the suffering of the cross and all that you were willing to endure so that we could have life, so that we could be set free. Help us not to take for granted this huge, tremendous gift of love on our behalf. Forgive us for being many times too busy or distracted by earthly things, for not fully recognizing what you so freely gave. Thank you, Lord, that by your wounds we are healed. Thank you that through your death we can live. Thank you that we have that great hope, that blessed hope, that regardless of what happens here on earth, you're coming again in the clouds with power and great glory. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus on the cross completed that great plan ordained before the foundation of the world when he said, "It is finished." Father, we pray a blessing upon each one who joined together by way of live streaming this evening. Each one who was able to listen on the phone far and near. We pray, Lord, that the body of Christ would stay united, that the great love that was demonstrated by Jesus Christ would fill our hearts and be shed abroad to those around us. We pray for those affected by the coronavirus. We pray that you would give strength to the health caregivers. We ask, Lord, that no lives would be lost in our families and church bodies. We pray that fear and doubt would be removed, and you would give us a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Pray for those who have lost their jobs and are wondering, how will we make it? Provide for their needs. We lift up the Bear family in their loss. And we just pray, Lord, that you would provide grace and comfort and love. For Brother Merle, we pray that you would give recuperation from his injury. Father, you have been so good to us. We don't deserve all the blessings that daily you load upon us. We are so unworthy, and yet you have decided to bless us even from the foundation of the world. We can't understand that great love, but we accept it, and through that provision, desire to love you. Forgive us where we have failed. Cleanse us by the blood of Jesus, and grant us a home eternally that you are preparing for us right now. In Jesus' name we pray, and let's all, regardless of where we are, join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you for joining us this evening, and may you, as you look forward to the Resurrection Sunday, be blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll say goodbye and hope to see you again.